Religion begins in gratitude and ends in service. Our ancestors lived close to the earth. Their existence was marginal. They were glad just to be alive. Primitive peoples appeased their gods and goddesses, flattered them, cajoled them, humored and bribed them to provide another fruitful harvest. Only gradually did our forebears learn to simply express thanks for the gift of life. It was a vital step in humanity's spiritual evolution. Now, however, in our technological age, most of us are separated from such elemental anxiety. By and large, we don't grow the food we eat, don't build the housing we live in, don't make the clothing we wear, or construct any of the things that are so central to our lives. We work, we earn money, buy things. It's not the same as the labor of our own hands, the sweat of our own brow. Thanksgiving today simply takes on a different meaning. I think we have to work to recapture the pure religious gratitude of yesterday when it was closer to our spiritual core. Take, for example, these words from Ayn Rand. Thanksgiving is a typically American holiday. In spite of its religious form, giving thanks to God for a good harvest, its essential secular meaning is a celebration of successful production. It is a producer's holiday. The lavish meal is a symbol of the fact that abundant consumption is the result and reward of production. End of quote. Now, in a way, she is right. We do celebrate our human capacity to produce. But that is not all. Rand shows little appreciation for the bounty of nature, without which we would produce nothing, without which we are nothing. My point is there's very little humility here. Only a sense of entitlement to what we have produced, what is mine, what I deserve. Missing from Ayn Rand's statement is the word grace. Now, this is not the grace of a merciful God towards me, a sinner forgiving my sins. This is grace understood as the unmerited abundance which is mine by the luck of the draw. This is the grace of privilege, living amidst the beauty of this world, beauty in which I had no part in creating. This is the grace of good fortune, to have been born into a loving family and a prosperous nation again, matters of which I have no control. Genuine gratitude enables me to acknowledge that I am merely a guest of existence. Life is not a given. Life is a gift. There is more to Thanksgiving than recognizing our good fortune and giving thanks for it. What can we give back to the earth that has nourished and sustained us? What are our obligations to one another? Let's go back to an earlier time. One of our 19th century Unitarian writers, Lydia Maria Child, penned these words that are so familiar. Over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house we go. The horse knows the way to carry the sleigh through the white and drifted snow. Over the river and through the woods, now grandmother's house I spy. Hooray for the fun, the pudding's done. Hooray for the pumpkin pie. Now she was born in 1802 in Medford, Massachusetts. Her first book was an acclaimed romantic novel about the love between a Native American man and a white woman. Lydia began writing for children. She became part of the grand flowering of New England, a friend of William Ellery Channing and Margaret Fuller, among others. She was a popular guest among the rich and famous in Boston. Then concerns for social evils began to disturb her. Lydia turned from romantic novels to books of social criticism. She attacked the treatment of Native Americans, protested slavery, and advocated women's rights. She was no longer invited to the parties. She was excluded from clubs. Her so-called friends deserted her. Her husband lost his job. People stopped reading her books. Their fortunes dwindled. Out of her own need, she wrote The Frugal Housewife, instructing people how to survive a little. She continued to write and never lost her passion for justice. Let us return to this moment and ask ourselves, what are our obligations to one another? Thanksgiving without good works is pure piety. Religion begins in gratitude and ends in service. There's the rub. While gratitude sustains us, makes us feel good, service sometimes tends to tire us out, exhaust our spiritual energies, and often it frustrates us. But as Unitarian Albert Schweitzer put it so simply and so powerfully, good fortune obligates. This idea doesn't play well these days. Despite our enormous natural bounty, we tolerate poverty in the midst of plenty with scarcely a word of protest. Despite our growing prosperity, we inflict harsher penalties on those who cannot compete in the struggle for prize. Despite the inadequacy of private charity to cope with poverty, we reduce public support for the needy. It is almost as if our very prosperity is corrupting our morals. Our bounty seems to be more to be hoarded than to be shared. We never seem to have quite enough. We find it difficult to understand why others could not have worked as hard as we for what we have. In our affluence, we tend to distance ourselves both morally and spiritually. Our own Ralph Waldo Emerson suggested that people are most conservative after dinner. That is, when their own needs are well satisfied, they tend to be less worried about others. In the words of the Universalist theologian Clarence Skinner, a stuffed prophet sees no visions. We are drawn again to Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I quote, "We are not born free. We are born with a mortgage. That mortgage is a debt that we owe to the past and to the future. While we live, we pay interest and then pass it on to the next generation. That's how churches, communities, and nations survive, by accepting what has been bequeathed and passing it on to those that come after them. This ritual of receiving and giving is an act of thanksgiving." Emerson, I think, has it right. Thanksgiving is not simply about receiving the bounty of the earth and the blessings of being alive. It's also about paying our mortgage to those who have gone before and to those who will follow. A musical anthem captures well our postmodern dilemma. Some days we forget to look around us, and I'm quoting, Some days we can't see the joy that surrounds us. So caught up inside ourselves, we take when we should give. And each time we do this, we lose a piece of our soul. But that's not the whole story of who we are. At home, many important things happen around the table. The table is where family discussions occur. It's where homework is done or games are played. It's where letters are written or artwork created. Secrets have been told, burdens have been lifted. Words of forgiveness have been said all across the table. Hands have reached across, feet have touched underneath. Laughter has erupted all around, and tears have fallen on top. You don't think about it usually, but the table is probably the holiest place in your house. Soon you'll spend a long time at the table, longer than you need to. You'll eat all the turkey you can handle. You could easily get up and go to the living room, or even all of you leave all together and go your separate ways. But something keeps you at the table, dirty dishes and all. You've seen it happen. You don't want to leave because you know somehow, deep inside, that a table is an altar of sorts. Holy things can happen there. They've happened before. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everyone, and enjoy yourselves at the table.